Hello, and welcome to the Daydream Believers podcast. I'm your host, Liz Chiarelli. Here, you'll find a monthly dose of insight to help keep you motivated, inspired, and informed so you can continue working towards your dreams. We cover a variety of topics from mindset to health to strategy so you can become the person you need to be in order to turn your dreams into reality. Every now and then, we'll also bring in some music artists to showcase some of the finest electronic music out there. Thanks for listening, and remember to head to lizchiarelli.com to download a free morning motivation that'll guarantee you start each day strong and stay on the path to success. Now, on to the show. Hello, Liz here. And welcome to another episode of the Daydream Believers podcast. On this episode, the members of my coaching community were super privileged to have the awesome Steve Palfreyman come in and host a workshop for us. He took the time out to answer some pertinent questions the Dreamers had about marketing and rebranding. Steve helps people thrive. He has a knack for turning ideas into strategies and simplifying the actions we take daily to grow our creative projects. He wants to leave one thing in the minds of others, that we can all make our mark on the world in ways that are good for humanity.
Hello there, Daydreamers. Great to be here. So really looking forward to sharing some insights and today. And thanks so much for all your questions. Extra special thanks to Liz for having me here. It's been fun planning out what to share with those of you who had some questions for me. And just know if you're watching this and you didn't ask a question, there's going to be so much in here. This is like a pure marketing lesson for everyone. There's going to be heaps in here. Even if I'm not answering your question, if you did post a question, it is getting answered today. So thanks so much for those. We're going to go in order. So let's get started. Ash, your question about rebranding. So first piece of this to consider, it starts with your why. The most important thing for you to work out at this point is why you're doing what you're doing and how you're going to turn that into a mission, a message, into the words and videos and sounds that will help people understand that they want a piece of what you do or they want to be a part of what you do. And so the mission first and foremost is go deep into finding your why, your mission, your message. Now, couple pieces here on to think about here with rebranding. I think a lot of the times we get lost in all the different pieces of what rebranding might look like. The most important thing is we need to essentially have our concept strong and we need to have our creation strong. And so the concept is kind of what I talked about first there. It's your mission, your message. It's asking this question, what change am I trying to make? In whether it's a change that I want to make in the world on a big level or just a small change that somebody might experience as they consume the stuff that we put out, as they interact with us, as they buy from us. There's always little changes that we're making for other people. And the question always has to be around figuring out what that is first and foremost. Then when we go into the creation side of things, we want to spend time on our visuals, how we connect our message to the people that we want to serve. And so the second question starts to be, who are we trying to change? Who are we trying to reach? If we are first clear on the specific change that we are trying to make, and the more specific the better, keep in mind it's very easy to start off with some talking about vague change. All of us do it. I do it all the time. I make mistakes there. Once we get a vague change, we want to ask the question, how do I go deeper than that? How do I get more specific? For example, being here, I could say I want creative entrepreneurs to have a new understanding of what it means to market. Pretty vague. I would say that's a vague change that I'm trying to make today. A specific change that I'm trying to make today, in fact, just in this section, is I'm specifically hoping to help some. I'm looking to help creative people think differently about the way that they connect and make change with the people that they're trying to reach. And so the change I'm trying to make is actually helping all of you make better change with the people that you're trying to reach. And then the flow-on effect actually continues. So that's kind of where I'm coming from today. So how we do that, from the visuals, the words, and the audio, it all carries some weight. I'm going to give you a couple of tips here on making sure it all works. But first up, if you've got lots of things that are coming under one umbrella, try and work out what unifies this. What sits behind the brand is the thing that needs to be communicated through everything you make. So this is the thing that makes your brand memorable. If you can get to that mission, and then you can start to display that through content and words that you choose to put everywhere, then you start to have a shot of people remembering you for the message, for the thing that connects with them, probably emotionally. So have a think about what your why and your mission and your message would be, first up. Then second, you want to consider who you're trying to reach, knowing that it's better to be something special to someone rather than everything to everyone. You've got a lot of things that you want to put together here, and I'd say the best thing is to work out what unifies these in terms of your mission, what makes you passionate about it. And then we want to start thinking about creating this, putting it together. And so putting something together, a great little resource that I use for getting some design inspiration is called Hixle.com. That's Hixle.com. And you can there's a whole bunch of different design websites, design schemes like color schemes and fonts are displayed there, so you can get some inspiration for interesting color schemes, current color schemes, and some really amazing design that exists on the web. So the thing that you want to be able to do, even though at the moment it's quite interesting, my biggest tip used to be try not to use any more than like three colors and use the same colors everywhere. I see so many people just go, I'm going to pick some blue and pink and green, and I'm just going to put random ones on all the time. You want it to be unified. The easiest ways to make sure that you have good branding is use black and white for sure. You can use different shades, even try and keep those similar if possible. But if you're using colors, try and keep it to like two is a really easy way. Once you're using three colors together, it starts getting riskier. So maybe try and use two. Although design trends at the moment, people are definitely having fun with lots of colors. So don't be afraid to play with it. Just make sure you don't want to have more than like four or five. Starts to be quite a lot of colors, and you want to use a couple together in different parts of your website, for example. With fonts, same again, less is more. Try not to use 20 fonts. I think three or four is probably the limit. And don't be afraid to experiment with some fonts that are a bit exciting. There's, if you just use Google fonts, there's so many interesting fonts that you can use, but try and pick two or three that kind of convey the message of your brand. And then with video and audio, make sure you're prepared thinking about a video and an audio strategy. I think it's important to have both, and you should be thinking about what sorts of video content you want to put on your website versus content you might put out in the world. And same with audio. I think audio is more and more important. And having a think about this question, how can I make sure I can quickly and easily produce quality video and quality audio? Getting a good mic, for example, even just a cheap mic is totally, you can absolutely get a good mic for like $100 or $200. I'm sure lots of us already have good quality mics. And even just like, I'm literally using like $100 webcam here, and it is more than enough for web use. So make sure you're basically upgrading your gear just off like the stock laptop kind of stuff, and then you're good to go. So just to sort of wrap this up, this is a hard one to unpack because it's like an entire strategy I'm trying to give you in a very short amount of time. But the two takeaways that I would have from this is, number one, work out what your mission is and work out how you can convey that mission for the people that you're trying to reach. And then pick colors, fonts, have it create, think about what video and audio you're going to make, and then you start packaging that stuff up. Now, depending on where you're actually putting this changes everything. If it's just a website, I would say this: try not to build a website with 10, 20 pages from the beginning. Try and create one or two pages just from the start. You know what a perfect example is? Liz's sign up page for the Daydream Believers community. If you go and look at the invitation page there and then the thank you page after you sign up, something like that is a much better way to start than trying to come up with too much at once. Start with, and this is my number one tip, start with an offer, something that you want to put out in the world, and get the offer strong. Start testing that, and once you've got the offer, build a website out around that. I'm literally sitting with my business, is second best ever performing web page, is basically similar to what Liz has here, is please come and join my Facebook group. And it's just an offer. It's nothing more than an offer. This is my mission. This is what I can do for you. Try and start there. Okay. That's a big one. So hopefully all of you have taken some ideas on that. I think we've covered a lot of the foundations of rebranding in that. So that some of that stuff applies for everybody. Let's move on to Ron. Marketing isn't about going out and finding customers. We need to assume this idea that marketing is us reaching out and pulling people in and then they give us money. That's not marketing. That's sales. An important part of the process, but marketing is us working out how we are connecting with people. And so if it's about packaging up what we do and connecting that to the people that we create for, then in your situation, Ron, you don't have to go and think, I need to be on 10 channels and pushing myself out into the world. You don't have to go and create 20 pieces of content going out on all these social networks every day. You don't have to have ads running. In fact, all of that, like you don't have to have banners on the highway. We don't have to go and get you in every single place for you to be successful here. Your marketing is in the work that you're doing. You're pitching songs. And so the question starts to be, if you're pitching songs, how do we make those pitches more appealing? And if somebody's coming onto your website, how do we make your first impression more appealing? And as things start to grow, we probably will start asking the question of more of a sales angle, how can we deepen the connection with people without you having to do more work? And in thinking about that, we probably start thinking, first up, how can we position what you do best in the best way for people? So if you need to be pitching songs, your best marketing approach is probably meeting more people to pitch songs to, meeting more people to potentially collaborate with, you won't be the only one that has that kind of objective as well. Now, beyond your website, beyond how you position yourself, and just a couple of tips here. One of the best ways to position what you do is make sure that you have easy ways for people to listen and to get to know you personally. I would be going heavy on video and making it quite an experience as people come through. You might even come up with a way to take people on a journey through a bunch of your songs. You might even be able to grow your email list while you do that. In a way that's building connections as people are coming through and they're experiencing your work. But outside of this, I would say, no, you don't need to go and do a whole bunch of marketing out in the world. But if you were to create something that fits around this passion of yours, that would help you connect with more people, then I would say that's the place to be thinking about. And so instead of saying, how do we be in 100 places? We might say, how do we add something on that's going to be something worth talking about? And I say this because it's hard every day being like, it's not ideal in this day and age going out and having the one thing that you talk about, but also the product that you sell. More often than not, we end up getting, sometimes we get too salesy before we even realize it, but more often than not, people tune out because there's not enough value in that for them. It's a pitch. If we're saying, hey, I can write some songs, I can pitch you some music, it's not adding a lot of value to somebody's day. I mean, once you actually get the yes and you create that, that's adding value. But initially, you saying, can I do this for you, isn't adding any value. And so what we want to be thinking is, how can we build connections for you, get your name out there, and also start positioning you around other people? I would say, first idea for me, if my first thought is, I reckon you've got a fascinating podcast that you could do. That would be an opportunity for you to connect with people, interview them, get your face out there, get your brand next to other people, and it could be a really great way for people to get to know you. And you can also use it as, you can sponsor your own podcast with your own music, and every time people are coming to listen to somebody, then you're there with your music in front of that stuff. And you might even talk about stories of collaborations that you make through meeting the people with the podcast. What I'm getting at here is, even if you don't do that, if you come up with a marketing concept and then you go and market the concept, then that is going to be the gateway to you getting more of what you want. It just has to fit nicely in line with, once again, your why and your mission. And then it becomes somewhat of an extension. Now, a lot of this stuff takes a lot of work. That's absolutely the point. But it is the best way to basically stand out from a whole bunch of other people who won't put in the work to do something like this. So that'd be my number one thing. So I'd say, no, you don't need to be on every social media channel. If you are going to be on multiple social media channels, just make sure you enjoy them and you feel like that's adding to you, because you need to be adding to other people. You need to be adding to conversations, not just putting content out in order for that to be useful for you. So make sure you're enjoying where you're spending time. And keep in mind, just hanging out in the Daydream Believers group is in some form an indirect marketing thing, potentially. Like at some point, somebody is going to say, hey Ron, could you make me a song? Got a client over here, need a track, or you two should connect. So just us being out there is a marketing mechanism in a way. So just keep that in mind. But anyway you spend time, it should add value to you and it should add value to somebody else. Have a think about what concept you could create to grow, to make something that would be bigger than louder than just you on your own. That's what these things are. When we create a Facebook group like this, or when we create a podcast, or if we were creating a web series, or if we put on a virtual conference, or if you made you could collaborate with six people and release your songs out collectively and all cross promote. These things allow us to have something that is louder than just ourselves. It amplifies. And that's why they're so effective, because we get a lot more from just the time that we put in. Okay. Brandy, thank you for your questions. Once again, another massive one. Now I need to break this down, and you know, we're probably not going to get everything that you want out of this, but there are some things that are going to be super useful for you here. So first up, what is a successful launch? That's the first one that we need to ask. What is a successful launch to you? So you've said that basically you want to you want a successful launch of your new novel. We need to define what a successful launch is, because everybody goes in with the aim of a successful launch and then they walk out disappointed, regardless of what happens. Had done it myself, had plenty of clients do it, try and get them to like commit to something really, really clear, and then they, no matter how well they do, they walk out going, Steve, I'm depressed. Because launching is incredibly depressing, especially in the beginning. Let's assume the first 3 to 5 launches of something new, or like a new business or a new angle, are depressing. They're just always depressing. So we've got to assume that if we're shooting for a successful launch, Let's just say it's probably not going to be. If we redefine success, then we have a shot of actually achieving something. And we need to assume this. A launch, so rebranding to launch, the launch should be just taking us somewhere that we haven't been before. We're just going to another level. But we need to decide what that level is. And so if do you need, is the number one thing that will make change for you, that will help you hit your 12-month and 12-year goal, is it getting 1,000 people to buy a book, or is it getting 1,000 email subscribers? Is it getting, creating a buzz and a conversation around a podcast? Is it starting a series of events talking about what your new, what your books are about? We need to define this more than just releasing a novel and making a living, because this is something I think is really, really important. Not to say that earlier on we should be, I certainly don't think any of us here should be walking out and assuming that, hey, let's just do a bunch of stuff for 20 years and then finally one day we'll get paid. That's not the mission. But the mission should be, what do I need to get to in terms of like a marketing objective, not a sales objective, a marketing objective to help me hit my 12-year goal? And in some ways, I would take, and that will depend on what you actually decide you're going to do around your launch. I'm going to give you some tips in just a sec, but let's come back to the other one, because the 12-month goal as well, what is better known? What is better known? Better known to authors? Better known to Steve in Australia? How do we define better known? We need to know what better known and what buzz looks like to you for the next level, and the next level, and the next level, so that we have stepping stones to shoot for. Is better known 1,000 subscribers on a YouTube channel? Is better known getting featured on, interviewed on 3 podcasts, because you've never been featured on a podcast before? Like, is better, have you already been featured on 40 podcasts, and so better known is actually getting in Huffington Post? What is better known? What is the next level? Not what's super up here, but what are the steps we can take? And then we reverse engineer back. So if we were thinking for, like, that's just, I'm going to use Huffington Post as an example. Let's say you want to be featured on Huffington Post and you want 30 podcast interviews for your, in the next 12 months, then what do we need to do to work towards that in the shorter term? Let's assume some of these podcasts that you want to get on will only accept people who have a sizable audience already. Then your launch suddenly isn't about isn't selling books. Your launch is about getting people on a mailing list and on a YouTube channel because you've started your YouTube series, for example. But it changes again. If your mission is becoming a New York Times bestselling author in the next 12 months, then we know that you need to basically sell a ton of books in a short period of time. And so we need to do a couple of things. One, we need to grow your audience, but two, we need to make you very appealing to be able to get onto other people's stages, probably physical stages as well as virtual stages. And we need to basically make it super enticing for people to basically say, you go and say, hey, I usually give my talks for £10,000. Instead of £10,000, I just need you to buy X amount of books. And so you actually start crafting your strategy just to ship copies of books. Now, all of these are marketing and branding objectives, and they're just a couple of common ones. So what I'm getting at here is, I think it would be really useful for you to think about, here's where we're going to go into the strategy, what specifically do you want to build around this book launch? What specifically do you want to walk out saying, I made that, and it's not your book, it's something else. It's something else that gives your book more legs, for starters. Here we go. For example, first example that comes to mind, probably because I'm in the middle of making another virtual conference. I don't know if you guys know Tim Ferriss, but he put out a book like a year and a half ago, maybe two years ago. Gosh, somewhere in that. And it was called Tools of Titans. If you don't know it, fascinating book. He basically started a podcast interviewing all these industry like all these amazing people, incredible people, podcast, incredible people. Then he died. Then he basically took all the interesting lessons out of this and put it into a book. And off the back of that, something just popped into my mind then. It's like, even though he's done a podcast, there's no reason, and then he's turned that into a book, he could now take that over into a summit concept. So he could create some kind of an event, either online or offline, even just featuring a few of those speakers, and command an enormous price tag. Or make it totally free and having it as a branding exercise. And so what he might do to help promote, even though he's got his podcast already, what he might do to promote that book would just be getting other people to come around him for an event of some form. He's got people in the book. And so why not get them involved around something new to help promote that? And that's just off the top of my head, but I hope it gives some idea into this thing that you want to be thinking about, which is, what am I building that's going to help raise the volume of my book? Are you doing an event, a physical book launch? And if so, how can you make the book launch something that people haven't seen before? This comes back to the stuff at the beginning. What's your mission and your why and your message? And if you get clear on that, and then say, what is the next logical extension of this book? How can I make something that makes this book bigger, that goes with the book? It's like, it would be like writing a soundtrack to your book, except, in fact, hey, maybe get Ron to write you a soundtrack for your book. Hopefully you see where I'm going here, because the thing that we have to do if we have a limited budget is we have to bootstrap. And the way to bootstrap is to get people talking. The way to get people talking is to get people rallying around a mission or a cause or something like that. Rallying around, and sometimes it's just the work, but usually it's something about the work that's particularly interesting. Usually it's a story within the work, or a story about, there's probably stories about you putting it together that are particularly interesting. But it's this other stuff that sits around the edges of our work that people find fascinating. And it's those things that we have to build upon. So number one, I'm going to ask you this: what is your biggest strength? I would put all of my eggs into one or two baskets, depending on how much energy and time I had, based on this bootstrapping on limited budget. And I would do it with my strengths in mind. And I would ignore fears. And I'm just going to throw out an example here. Like five or six, the best thing that I've ever did was destroy my fears and put together a virtual summit a couple of years ago. Best thing I ever did. But the silly and crazy thing is, my first business coach 6 years ago said, Steve, the best thing that you can do right now is go and interview a bunch of people, preferably in video, and start putting it out online. And I said, yeah, nah, cool idea, but I think I do marketing better than you. I'm a marketing person. You're just here to help me with my business. And anyway, 3 years later, I was like, oh my gosh, Deb was so right. I'm going to interview people and turn it into an online conference. And imagine if I did that at the beginning. And why didn't I? Because I was terrified. And I tried to convince myself that I knew better, and I absolutely didn't. I deep down, you just know when you're letting fear basically come up here and say, hey, just convince yourself otherwise. So what I'm going to say, follow your strengths, and make sure that you're following your strengths down a path that is also going to be your path of least resistance. If, for example, if there's other people you can collaborate with to get involved because it makes sense, then do that, because more people talking about your stuff, all with an interest in getting the word out, is almost the best way to bootstrap, bar nothing. And the only real ways to do that is either build community or build something that involves lots of people. And there's the best tip for today for everyone. If you want to build some leverage, build community or build collaborations. It's one or the other, or ideally both. If you can fit collaborations and community together, you start getting a really nice ecosystem. So work out, what is your strength? Is it an event? Is it a marketing funnel that you want to build? Is it a podcast? Is it a Facebook group? What is your strength, and what could you build around your work to help you hit your goals? You need to define what you'll do to market this book first and foremost, and that is not just here are all the ways I'm going to get the word out. I want to know what thing you're going to build. What are you going to actually make that sits next to the book, almost in it? Maybe it'll take as much energy and effort as the book itself. Okay. Awesome stuff. Three to go. I was super passionate about that one. I guess you could, I hope you guys get noticed. Matthew, you need to make your number one objective about building a portfolio. So once again, this is off the back of some stuff that we talked about with Ron. Your mission isn't to get out and try and reach a billion people. Your mission is to make the work that you, the pocket that you exist in, look so damn appealing to anybody that rocks up. No, not that. So damn appealing to the exact person that you know is going to rock up on your door. You know, they come, it's the film person, and they come and say, I'm looking for some soundtrack music, and my goodness, your stuff is amazing. There's just like, I don't know where to begin. There's just so much great stuff for film, and I love the YouTube tutorials, how you're talking about putting this stuff together. What you do with that stuff, that's your marketing. So I would say your number one objective is building this portfolio. Now, to do some of this, you need to focus right down. So straight away, I can see that you have a lot of interests, but we can't, in a marketing context, we can't pursue all our interests at once. More specifically, if you're trying to hit the gaming industry and the film industry and the TV industry all at once, wow. Where do we begin? Trying to, like, even just finding a, even just targeting like the independent game industry in Melbourne is quite a big task. If you want to try and get in, get your feet in with the Melbourne independent game industry, that's going to take you some time and work. If you want to hit games, film, TV, blah, universe, that's going to take insane amounts of work. So, what else, and time as well. Not to say it can't be done over time, but your mission right now is to say, where am I focusing and why? And how can I get take my first next steps to start getting, just to move the needle a bit on this? Focus right down. Now, a couple of things that are going to help. Number one, the main marketing activity that you should be doing is outreach. And I would say outreach for collaborations. Trying to find people who you can make stuff. If I was you right now, I would make most of my energy about making music and trying to place it with give people who are coming up free the access to this. Obviously, I wouldn't be like emailing everybody and just being like, hey, here's my free stuff. I would actually literally be going, who's my list of people that I really want to get in with? And I would send them an email and I would probably say, I've been working on some stuff lately and I'm super big fan of what you do in this particular space. I especially love and show that you're actually a fan and you actually like that stuff. I really like what you did on this last thing. I actually, as a little exercise the other day, I actually made some music similar to kind of what you had, but I just wanted to throw my spin on it. Thought you might like to have a listen. Are you working on anything else at the moment? If so, I'd love to try and fit some music to it, even just to a section. Let me know. And look, as I'm a fan for now, obviously, I just want to build connection with you. If I can just give it to you and that would help you out, I'd be so appreciative of the opportunity just to write for something. Love your work. Hope to talk soon. I would reach out offering to give, and I would literally not be after anything other than hope, knowing that if I can start getting my stuff into bigger places, that's going to help me leverage. And this is how people grow brands across the globe, everywhere. This is in effect how the biggest companies end up building, because they go and put their stuff out, not trying to turn profit in the early tiny days. Now, once again, I should throw this out. This is not about what our work is worth or not. And it's not to say that we should give everything that we do away. And it's not to say that even, you know, like you might send one email out to somebody who's like a, that is going to help you grow brand, and you know that you need to give to be able to get to help, be able to help them lift you up the ladder. There might be other people who you're like, you know, they're probably, then they might not get you somewhere in terms of like brand awareness. And so you probably do go and say, this is my, these are my rates, just as an example. So we do need to differentiate, but I would just say the number one thing as a marketing activity for you is outreach. And I'd also be positioning my website to exactly that focus that I've chosen. So if I'm doing outreach and I'm building my portfolio, because I know that if I get my stuff in some good stuff, I can build that better portfolio. I can focus on one area. And then when somebody comes to my website, instead of saying I do TV, film and games, it's more like I help independent game developers in Melbourne create stunning, stunning atmospheric soundtracks in the horror industry. We want to get specific. So, and actually, you know, you, on that note, you probably want to talk with Reed and offer him some music for free. Everybody who is needing to bootstrap, in fact, all of you guys could probably collaborate in some way. Everybody who's needing to bootstrap can help and support more each other more by just giving, knowing that the branding opportunity of other people talking about something is useful. It's exactly why I've offered to be here, because one, I respect Liz so much and I love her work and I love what she's built here. But I know if I just come and do this, then that's not gonna, there is zero, literally zero things that can go wrong with me coming and doing this. So it's not about, and like this sorts of stuff, I just want to get this argument. I'm sure everybody's not thinking about it, but I absolutely can. I don't have to do this for business. I don't have to do this. And I absolutely could charge for stuff like this. In fact, this sort of stuff is insanely valuable. In fact, Liz could charge for this group. So all of this to say, but that's not the mission. The mission here is to talk to you guys, offer some support. If something comes back down the line, awesome. If it doesn't matter. I've got just been given a platform here to talk and add some value to people's lives. And that's the best marketing thing under the sun. That's awesome. And also I get to, do stuff that I enjoy. I've been working on others. Like I've been literally working on building out web pages and funnels and stuff today. And this is a really lovely outlet to finish the day. So all that to say, this adds value to me, adds value to you. And I think a lot of us need to, obviously we need to get paid for our work, but we need to create our marketing strategy separately from the need to get paid. Very important. Obviously, it should point that direction, but it needs to be created separately. Okay, back to this. If you add any content and social on the side of this outreach, so your mission is position your website and portfolio and outreach all in one focused area. Try and make your mission about getting more collaborations, getting more people to write for, build up that portfolio, build up the connections. And if you do add anything else on that, make it, like I've suggested with everything else, make it a content piece that you can add on the side. So for example, you could start a Facebook group for musicians wanting to pitch music to independent game developers in Melbourne. It could be the Indie Music Game Circle Scene, Cool People's Group. And you create that and you facilitate that. What would be way smarter is you actually created a group for independent game developers and you facilitate independent game developers coming together, and then you create, off the back of that, maybe you create an event meetup and all the independent game developers come to your meetup and they get to know you by association of you building a community about something that you're passionate in. And I guarantee you'll probably end up with so much work, you can probably have to like find other people in your community to give that song. Like, we need to build community, or we need to build collaboration once again. So if you add anything on, community is a great mission. A podcast is a great mission. If it's anything, just make sure it's personal, make sure it's journey-based, make sure it's exciting. If you're going to throw out content, make sure it is interesting to you to do. Okay. Next one, read. This is an enormous one, and I am going to throw down some stuff. Side backstory, have worked on other independent films before, so I have experience in the world that you're in. I'm going to give you some warnings, and I hope that you can find some ways to take some of this on board. Usually I give this... I feel like I've given this talk to filmmakers multiple times, and rarely do I get listened to. So there's a little bit of a fear. I'm scared you're gonna hate what I'm gonna say. Okay. You might not. No, you're gonna love it. This is really cool. Okay. So number one, your biggest asset is probably, and obviously I don't. So I'm making assumptions here, like with everybody and. There will be some things that won't be perfectly right, but please take what you can. Your biggest asset is probably your weakness, and that is simply this. Your biggest asset is your ability to make visual, engaging content. It just so happens to be in a film version. Your biggest weakness is probably perfectionism that's created by that. And what I mean is not shipping enough content, not being open enough to put out little bits, drip, 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 to ship content over a long-term period to build collaboration and community is probably the thing that will kill your film before it's even begun. I say this because films are freaking hard. So your mission first and foremost is to know that the number one thing that you have to do is work out a way that you can be telling the story, once again, that fits in with your why and your mission and your message for as long as possible before you do anything to monetize or market this film. It needs to start yesterday. And it probably the ideal angle is you going and putting and getting, and I'm sure maybe you're doing some of this already, awesome, do more. Ship content telling the story of what it takes to create a film and start making it visual and making it experiential and invite people into your world as you share the journey to making this film. The first and single most important thing that you have to do to, you're saying you want to go grassroots, awesome. You need to build community. You need to find your first 1,000 supporters, and I mean actual supporters. Which means we need to, regardless of what stage you're at, that means finding the 10 people who will back you and follow you, and then the 100 people who will back you and follow you, and then the 1,000 who will back you and follow you and support you. And supporters, essentially, with this thing, they need to be there because they're interested in it. And so they're in this situation, it's not friends. It's, I do want to get into the friends and family trap in a moment. For Roberto, but it's not friends and family, although some of those will be your best crowdfunding supporters for sure. But you know, you need to be building community around the fans. And I know you're thinking about that, and it sounds like you've got some places to focus on. So I would ask the question, what is the community that I would want to build? And where would they be, and why would they be coming to the community that I create? Not just for the film, this has got to be something bigger than the film. It's a place where people want to come to hang out, to spend time with you. This can be in a Facebook group, it can be on a YouTube channel, it can be on Twitter. It really comes down to you deciding that you're going to be showing up and shipping a lot of really interesting stuff. Okay, number three, be careful of acting like a big studio. Now, what a big studio will do, because they got heaps of money, is they will start marketing a few months out from release. And even an independent studio, they might go on. The time frames are shorter. Now, if you need to build a grassroots movements don't happen quickly. And most times when I see people fail or struggle on crowdfunding, it's because they haven't spent enough time building actual supporters. So fans first, actual supporters who will show up and contribute to that creation. I would say this, if you haven't been, and I'm going hard on you here, Reed, but you can absolutely, maybe you've been doing all this, and if so, that's awesome. This is also to anybody else who's thinking about crowdfunding. Biggest warning, if you haven't spent the last 12 months of your life building active, engaged community and supporters and shipping content already and proving that you're worth the money, don't crowdfund yet. If you haven't been doing that for 12 months, like grinding your days out, don't crowdfund yet. It is such a game-changing disaster, because when people go and do it too soon, and I've seen it happen just so many times, it breaks my heart. Because what happens is, once you crowdfund, you've just shot your opportunity into the sky. And if you don't hit the amount that you need to hit, then you've just missed one of your biggest opportunities for launching. Now, this doesn't mean if you haven't started, don't wait another 12 months. But I will say, if you haven't been actively shipping content out at least this year, if you haven't been building tribe around your stuff at least this year, be very, very careful of doing this in May, unless you have a big audience. Let's say you have 1,000 email subscribers, 5,000 YouTube subscribers, 10,000 Twitter followers, 3,000 people in a Facebook group. You could consider doing a reasonable crowdfund. And if you had a good publicity strategy, great content ready to go. At this point where you're at right now, I would want to have a strong audience who know what I'm doing. They're super supportive. They've seen me ship content for some time. I'm engaged in the horror scene community, as in I'm churned. They people know who I are there, who I am. They know I've made other little versions of this. They know they've seen other stuff I've made. They like what I'm about. They know that my creations are awesome. They've seen my short films. They think they're great. They've seen the web series I've made. They think it's interesting. I've got supporters there. I've got people ready to back what I want to do next. Now, yes, crowdfunding is a marketing tool in itself. It is a top of funnel type thing, but because we're going for a very public, it's a public fundraise, and the benefits are that it can sometimes encourage more people to contribute. The downside is, if we don't have enough happening at the beginning, we can end up with a stagnant crowdfunding campaign, and it can actually be more embarrassing and damaging to a brand than not. Assume that, and I know, and I just say all this because I know films cost a lot of money. I'll ask this question: what can you do in the next 6 months to be creating this community, to be creating and publishing content that will lead towards what you want to finally make, that will help people sign up to the mailing list where they're getting really, really cool updates about the horror world and perhaps new snippets. What will they get along this journey as you're building community around you, maybe building some collaborations? The mission here is simple. You need to dream big, absolutely, and I'm excited for you, I really am, but focus small. And so we start asking the questions: what can I do this, like the questions that Liz asked in here, what can I do this week to move the needle on my project, thinking about where I need to get to in the next 4, 8, and 12 months from now. If you need to get to a crowdfund in 12 months, cool. In 12 weeks, cool. It can be done. Just make sure that you're starting to ship great content as of tomorrow, and you're doing it consistently. You're getting the story out, because we're in a totally different world right now. If we try and function like a big studio who can just push everything that they make out into the world, consider this: when we see things on bestseller lists, it's usually because it's new and it's had a budget behind it to push it out, not because it's remarkable work. A lot of the time, sometimes yes, a lot of the time people get to like number one on the bestseller just because they've had been very clever and often had backing to push a lot of product out, or because it's new. Now, ideally, you want to be able to, I'm thinking about the second film for you already. That's why I say all this with riskily say all this. I'm already thinking about the next film that you are able to make off the back of this, because this one is just setting you up to be able to make another. And the best way to make another is, A, if our first work is good, and I trust absolutely that your work is gonna be good, but we need the momentum from that first one to at least feel like it was something. And to do that, we need to start smaller, but not shoot for the monetizing as soon. We need to do that later on. So if I was you, I would be crowdfunding. I would be asking the question: how long can I hold my breath, and how can I minimize my costs in the early days of building community and collaboration around putting content out? Maybe you start uploading videos every week teasers, things you like to make. It sounds like you got some really interesting stuff that you could share. I love the sound of the concept art, all that. Sounds like you got really interesting stuff. And I just want to make sure that you're not doing too much too soon. Sorry for being harsh. I hope some of those ideas were useful. Obviously, you fit which ones you want in with your world. Just make sure you're building community as a priority, and it's got to be built around the content, the mission, and the story that you want to be sharing with the world, the change that you want to make, once again. Okay. Roberto, last one. Okay, first, this is going to be useful for everybody too. First thing to consider, a psychographic is often more useful than a demographic. So if you're, go and Google it. I won't go into the full thing right now, but often most people think, this age group, they're over here. If I was you, I would be thinking about what the people that you're trying to reach, what their thoughts and feelings and values and beliefs and emotions are. What's keeping them up at night? What's exciting to them? What's terrifying to them? Getting in the hearts and minds of them is what you want to be doing. So think about your psychographics. If you're wanting to get clear on your baseline audience, obviously this is a bit different if you go, I'm about to talk about paid ads. So it's obviously you can't totally do this in paid advertising, but first to define who you're trying to reach, try and ask the question, ask the questions, around trying to answer who these people are in terms of their psychographics. What are they thinking and feeling and doing? What's happening in their day? Let's get into their minds. Let's think about the stuff that they love and they're excited about. So that first. Number two, be careful of the friends and family trap. It can be very confusing when we have friends and family wanting to support us, but inevitably they're probably not the ideal audience for us. Some of them can be supportive and some of them can be a total train wreck. And that's fine. Just be careful of letting that skew who your actual audience is. Best way to get paid traffic is, best way to get visibility is probably paid traffic. If you're going to do paid traffic, you need to have a plan to make some money at some point, because our mission, and this is what most people do, they'll go and blow some money on Facebook ads with no end game in mind. And I know a minute ago I just said, go and put your work out, stop worrying about the money thing, only because I think it changes our approach in a bad way. But if we're starting to get to this point, how do I get my work to be more visible in a quick way? We need to be thinking, what's the product at the end? Because that will help you if we're starting to actually do get you some visibility. And if it's Facebook, it's pay to play. If you want visibility on Facebook, you can make it happen with a group. It's probably the only free way to do it now. And even then, reach is getting crushed. But in terms of Facebook and growing a Facebook page, you have to use, it's Facebook ads is the way. There's no real way to game the system anymore. They've perfected it. And that's not a bad thing. It's great to be pay to play. It gets a lot of people out of the game. Now, if you want to be doing paid traffic, you have to know what you're able to sell off the back of that. And so the paid traffic actually starts to be very mathematical, which is why I'm not a massive fan of it, because I never loved maths. And what it ends up meaning is you need to know how much it costs you to buy a customer, and then you set up your ads and ad spend accordingly to try and do that. And you do it with a bunch of tests. I would recommend going and learning about this. If that's something that you want to do, I'm happy to recommend some good courses to do for that. But I wouldn't say it's the perfect thing for everybody, especially if we're trying to bootstrap, simply because we end up in a space that's quite mathematical. And look, if that's for you, awesome. You can do some, if you can create content and you like creating ads and creating video content and then running those channels, and you enjoy optimizing and looking at numbers, it can be a real game changer. So absolutely keep it in mind. Now, if we want to try and get visibility without that, we probably need people talking about us. So either we create community, maybe we build a group, something around, maybe you build a group, something around your mission, and you get people talking about that mission. But it has to be a group experience. It has to be everybody talking about the mission, not so much just you promoting stuff to them. If that can be a really interesting way. Or another way, instead of just creating a community app, is getting your stuff featured. So maybe you want to try and get featured in some interesting blogs or publications. Going down the press angle and just doing the outreach yourself, getting on some podcasts, collaborating with these guys in here, getting on other content, getting in front of other people's audiences is essentially the easiest way to start getting some people. If you're super targeted about it, then you can get people interested in what you're doing. So that's at the moment, it's pretty hard to go past either paid traffic, but paid traffic leading to a product that you can sell so that you start generating customers at a profit and then you can scale that, or you go the publicity path and you build connections and community and content and you put that in front of people and put that in front of other people's audiences. Depends what your strengths are. I'll just say this, if you haven't developed an audience on a channel yet, you need to pick one place where you want to focus. And I would say that Facebook is hard to do it unless you're going to pay. It can be done on Instagram and it can be done on Twitter, YouTube to an extent still. And you go and basically say, I'm going to put all my energy into this place and I'm going to build content and community around my mission and my why, and I'm going to do that here. I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about, and I'm going to collaborate with other people, I'm going to share their message, and I'm going to get super excited about campaigning, about what I believe in and what I'm excited about. You do that in one place and you scroll that until you feel like you can add something else on. That would be my biggest suggestion for getting visible. Usually all that we have everything in front of us, usually what we just have to do is get out, be ready to get active out there. So, all of this to say today, the number one thing for everybody is to keep asking these big questions. But if you want to rebrand and you want to turn that into what will potentially be a launch strategy, we need to start asking smaller ones as well. So we ask the big questions to get the vision right, but we ask small questions to get the strategy right. So the big questions help us see the bigger picture. The strategy has to come from four small, very focused, very specific questions. Things like, what can I do this week to move the needle on my career? Just this week. What one thing can I do this week to move the needle, knowing that by doing that, I'll be moving towards where I need to get to? And I'll leave you all with one last question. I hope you've enjoyed this. And thanks again to Liz for having me here. Hope you've got a lot out of this. I'll leave you all with one thing. I'd love to know what one thing each of you who've watched this are going to take action on from what we've talked about today. Maybe it's some feedback I gave somebody else. Doesn't need to be feedback I gave you. I'm 100% aware the feedback I give, I take it with a grain of salt. Take it with a grain of salt because obviously, I haven't had enough time to know everybody's situation innately, to take in some strong guesses. So take the stuff that applies to you, but be careful of ignoring the stuff that you think doesn't apply, because there's probably more stuff that applies than you might realize. It's quite possible. So leave it with this. What are you going to action off the back of this? All of this is only useful if we do something from it. So what are we going to do today? What are we going to do next week? And what are we going to do in the work towards in the next month? Let's get three action items down below. What's one thing you're going to do today? What's one thing you're going to do this week? And one thing that you're working towards to hit by the end of this month? I would love to see what you put down. I'm excited to see what you put down there. And have fun taking action. Thanks again, Liz. And I'll see you guys more very soon.
Thanks so much for listening. It's my pleasure to be able to bring you guests who are experts in their field to help you continue walking the path of your dreams. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'd love to know what you thought of it. So please do remember to subscribe in iTunes and give us a little rate and review. If the show resonated with you, please share it with someone you think would benefit from it. If you have a question or topic you'd like answered on the podcast, head to lizciarelli.com/contact and pop me a message. If you'd like to join my coaching community, Daydream Believers, and connect with me on a deeper level, you can become a patron. Just head to patreon.com/lizciarelli, where you can sign up quickly and easily. As a patron, you'll get access to the full range of my coaching packages, plus you'll get exclusive early access to all of my musical output.